Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Sister Between Us by Haley Dickert. Narrated by Amy Hall and Aidan Pierce. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Martin Luther King, Jr. Prologue. What would you do if the most important person in your life vanished? One second, they're there. The next, gone. Unfortunately, you can't always protect the people you love. No matter how much you wish you could, no matter what you'd give up to do so. Split-second moments change the trajectory of our entire lives. We often don't realize how impactful the moment is until much later. The first stroke of a paintbrush that ignites a new passion. A single second of eye contact with a stranger who becomes your lover. An accident with irreversible consequences. You weren't aware it was coming, and you could have done nothing to prevent it. Yet the entire direction of your life is flipped upside down, for better or worse. The previous version of yourself is yet to exist ever again. The last moment I remember is her telling me she loves me. Then it all goes dark.
1. Jake. I'm yanked back to reality by scouting grease splattering my skin. Shit! I jump away from the sizzling skillet, patting my exposed stomach in an attempt to brush away the pain. A mild, burning smell reminds me to flip the pancake in the other pan. If you'd put a shirt on, you wouldn't have that problem. My younger sister, Sophia, snarks from her position next to me on the white marble countertop. She supervises as I struggle to make the most basic damn meal of the day. Breakfast. I know I don't have to do this, but I want things to feel normal for the girls. I don't want them to notice the gaping hole in our life the way I do. So I make the bacon, and I scramble the eggs, and I burn the pancakes. Every Saturday, we used to wake up to the house filled with the smell of freshly cooked maple bacon. That was our cue to get out of bed and come to the kitchen. It was highly effective. Mom even bought a bacon-scented candle once to test if it would get us downstairs as quickly. It worked, and I was pissed. The mouth-watering smell and no bacon? Come on! But then I'd have bacon grease on my shirt, I say pointedly. And Mom's the only one who can get that shit out. Well, maybe you should learn, she sasses with raised eyebrows. Maybe you should learn, I smirk while pointing the spatula at her. You're almost 10, plenty old enough to help with the laundry. I pick up the finished plate of bacon and turn around, setting it on the kitchen island. The middle of it, where a vase of fresh tulips used to frequent, is bare. Dad and I are doing our best to fill the voids, but these things are still noticeable, at least to me. I finish preparing the eggs and cut up a watermelon while Sophia makes toast. Can you get the girls? I ask her as I carry the trays of food to the table. You got it? She snaps and points finger guns at me. I chuckle and shake my head as she hops off the counter and leaves the room. A few minutes later, my twin sister Chloe, her best friend Leah, and Sophia all walk in giggling. I'm glad some of us are finally feeling some happiness and normalcy. Nice of you to join us, ladies, I tease. Good morning to you too, Jake, Chloe says as she walks to the sink to wash the wet clay off her hands. She's been obsessed with pottery ever since she took it as an elective freshman year of high school. It's an interesting, messy, and expensive hobby. Jacob, Leah says, grinning, clad in leggings and an oversized t-shirt splattered with bright colored paint. She always calls me by my full name when she wants to annoy me. I relish in the split second her gaze flicks down to my exposed abs, then back to mine. Lee, I return with a smile. My nickname for her. Although it can hardly get shorter than Leah. Cute braids, Leah says, pulling on the end of one of Sophia's janky braids with blonde hair sticking out every which way.
I did my best,
Sophia whines, throwing her head back. You look great, Soph, I tell her before turning my attention to Aaliyah, giving her a what-the-fuck look.
Come to my room after breakfast,
Chloe says, chuckling. We'll teach you how to do a perfect French braid.
Yeah, you'll be the talk of the fourth grade,
Leah winks.
I better be,
Sophia giggles, flipping her golden hair behind her tiny shoulder. I pour myself a steaming cup of black coffee, the strong, nutty smell energizing me before I even take a sip, and make my way to the large, round wooden dining table with five navy blue chairs around it. Leah is here so often she even has her own seat. There used to be six chairs, but we moved one to the garage to avoid spending every meal staring at Mom's empty seat. The center of the table is packed full with overflowing plates of bacon, scrambled eggs, pancakes, sliced watermelon, and toast. I hope it's enough. Dad walks through the front door from his overnight shift just as we're sitting down at the table. He shrugs off his EMT jacket and places it on the coat hook in the hallway. Morning, kiddos, he says with a broad smile, joining us at the table. Morning, we all chime simultaneously.
This looks great. Thanks.
He gives me a knowing smile.
So, what are you kids up to today?
Dad asks while piling a hearty helping of scrambled eggs onto his plate. We're going to the springs with our friends. I respond between bites of watermelon, the juices dripping down my chin.
That sounds fun, Dad smiles. What about you, Sophie Bear?
Sage and her mom are picking me up, and we're going to the Tampa Zoo to see the koalas,
Sophia says right before stuffing an entire burnt pancake in her mouth without a single complaint.
Well, now I wish I wasn't going to be sleeping half the day so I could tag along, Dad says sadly.
Sleep is for the weak,
Sophia says, pointing her fork at him.
Yeah, Dad sighs. Maybe next time, Bear.
We scarf down breakfast, and after cleaning the kitchen, we all split to get ready for the springs. I pop my head in the open door of Chloe's bedroom. The girls are holding up bathing suits in the mirror against their clothed bodies. Be in the Jeep in 30 minutes, or you're walking. Without looking away from the mirror, they simultaneously flick me off. I swear, they practiced that move. I raise my eyebrows and fold my arms across my chest, searching for Chloe's gaze in the mirror.
Yeah, don't get your panties in a wad, Jake. We'll be there.
30 minutes later, on the dot, I'm sitting in the old black four-door Jeep Wrangler Chloe and I got for our 16th birthday. It sucks we have to share it, but I'm just happy to have some wheels. I spend a few minutes looking through music options for the drive, and finally settle on a Drake playlist before giving the horn a few quick honks. I'm 1 minute from leaving their asses behind. They know I'm serious. I've done it before. Finally, Chloe and Leah walk out our red front door, laughing like they have all the time in the world. When they're almost to the car, Leah throws her head back, groaning. The telltale sign she's forgotten something, and mutters something to Chloe before jetting over to her house next door. What else could she possibly need? I ask Chloe as she hops in the passenger seat. Your bags are already overflowing.
Cool your panties, Jakey, Chloe quips. She needs her sunscreen.
A few minutes later, Leah walks out of her house, bottle of sunscreen in hand, and finally gets into the Jeep.
You sure you didn't forget anything else?
I ask her with a cocked brow as my eyes flick down to her exposed legs.
Maybe some pants?
She narrows her eyes at me and smirks.
We're going to the springs, not church, Jacob.
I hum.
Why are you in such a rush anyways?
Chloe asks me. Worried all the hotties will be taken by the time we get there? Yeah, Chloe, I'm terrified. It would certainly ruin my evening plans. I wink.
You are such a douche canoe,
Chloe says, rolling her eyes as I put the Jeep in reverse. My gaze flicks to Leah as I back out of the driveway. She's grinning out the window, trying to hide her expression. But her cute dimples give her away completely. I pull into the Springs gravel parking lot and find a spot. We all hop out,
and I open the back of the Jeep. The girls each grab a large beach bag. I haul out the cooler filled with Publix subs, God's gift straight from heaven, and our liquid courage. As we unpack, the familiar rumble of an old two-door Ford truck pulls up next to us, carrying a sausage fest in the truck bed. "Funny seeing you here," Matt, my best friend, says, hopping out of the driver's seat as the rest of the guys jump out the back hauling coolers. "Well, if it isn't the two most beautiful ladies in all of Longwood," Matt smirks, directing his attention to Leah and Chloe. "Hey, Maddie." The girls coo with wide grins plastered across their faces. "I can carry that for you," he gestures towards the bag weighing down Leah's shoulder. "What a gentleman," she beams, handing it to him. I was gonna offer to do that. A silver Honda Civic parks next to Matt's truck, carrying a few senior girls my friends forced us to wait on. Their arrival finally allows us to start our way toward the springs. Laura, a friend from school, is walking next to me, making small talk about our college plans, which bores the shit out of me. She's cute, but I don't have any interest in leaving the friend zone. I can't help but overhear Leah's conversation as she walks ahead of me with Matt. I ignore the sinking feeling in my stomach as I realize Leah and I only have one class together this year, while she and Matt have almost identical fucking schedules. My jaw clenches and I try to ignore that too. "So, you looking forward to our final school year?" Laura asks, pulling my attention back to her. Sure. 1 year closer to flying this hick town, right? I sigh. Most kids grow up in Longwood and never leave. But that won't be me. I'm getting far away as fast as possible. I love my family, but if I stay here, I'll end up at some boring dead-end job with a perfectly nice wife and two or three cookie-cutter kids. Born here, raised here, die here. The thought of that terrifies me. There's got to be more to this world than the 40 square miles making up our little podunk town. I love this place. It made me. It raised me. But I have got to get the hell out of here. Maybe that's how Mom felt when she left. She was born here, raised here. And I guess she didn't want to die here, too. "Yeah, I can't wait to get out of here," she laughs weakly. "How are your offers so far?" "I've gotten some interest, but it'll depend on the season before I really commit anywhere." A heavy weight rests on my chest, thinking about how important this season is. In 99% of America, football is the popular high school sport. But in our small Florida town, for some reason, it's soccer. And I happen to be pretty damn good at it. While I'll admit I have a lot of natural talent, I work my ass off on the field, and it's paid off. I've been team captain since the beginning of last season. Even took us all the way to the state championship before a team from Jacksonville beat us out. Getting a full ride on a soccer scholarship is the best chance I have to pay my way. Although he won't admit it, Dad is struggling with the bills. Mom left Dad with all that when she blew town. Her half of the mortgage, and I guess her half of the kids, too. "Well, I'm sure you'll get tons of offers," she smiles, nudging my shoulder with hers. We're finally at the end of the trail, exiting the tree line toward the springs below. Teenagers are scattered everywhere, lying back on beach towels, sitting on lawn chairs, playing flip cup, running in and out of the springs, splashing around, all soaking up the final Saturday of summer. As we are setting out our things, Laura places her towel next to mine, and I notice Leah eyeing her with an unreadable expression. I'd like to imagine she's jealous, but it's probably just curiosity. Leah has never shown much attention to my dating life, unless it's to make it the end of a punchline. Our spot is finally set up. Matt brought a Bluetooth speaker, which is now emitting Childish Gambino, loud enough to DJ for the whole spring, but no one minds. This is where teenagers come to party. I pull my Longwood High soccer t-shirt off over my head and kick off my sandals, now wearing nothing but my favorite black swim trunks and matching Ray-Bans. I finally sprawl on the laid-out towel, and the blazing sun embraces my skin like a warm blanket. I can't help the aching feeling in my chest at the reminder this is the end of summer and these days with my friends at the Springs are almost over. Next year, we'll all be off to college or on other adventures. So, this is it. Leah stands near me, clad in an oversized white button-down dress, her black bikini faintly visible through the thin fabric. Her fingers fumble with the top button before it pops free, and in what feels like Baywatch-style slow motion, she undoes button after button, revealing more of the bikini and exposed skin underneath. Thank God for my Ray-Bans. My hungry eyes drink in every movement, the way the dress drops, exposing her shoulder as she tugs the sleeves off her arms and tosses it to the ground in a heap. How she runs her pointer fingers between the back hem of her bikini bottoms and her adorable little ass, readjusting it evenly into place. Enough hidden to make any sane man want to know what's underneath. Every drop of blood in my body rushes south. Fucking hormones. I force my eyes away before she, or anyone else for that matter, notices I'm staring. I flip over on the towel, move my Ray-Bans to the top of my head, and lie on my stomach, trying to hide my frustration. I've sworn up and down to myself I'll never do anything about these lustful feelings. I blame them on male hormones and genetics. Leah's always been a part of my life. Me, Leah, and Chloe were like the three musketeers until puberty happened, and we drifted apart. My little crush on her never felt like something I could act on. Not without risking our friendship. Not without risking everything. Hey, Leah bellows to Chloe a few yards away. Can you put some sunscreen on my back? I'm still fried from last week. Have Jake do it. I need to pee. And I'm seriously about to burst, she squirms. Your bladder is the size of a walnut, Leah says, laughing. Right, Chloe groans. Nature calls. I'm answering. I'll be right back. Leah shakes her head, grinning, then reaches around her shoulders in a failed attempt to apply sunscreen to the middle of her sun-scorched back. She looks towards me with an unreadable expression, raising her eyebrows, the bottle of sun lotion dangling from her fingertips. Would you mind? If I get any more sun, I'll turn into a jobster. She snickers at the last word, unable to maintain her composure. When we were 8, Leah spent an entire summer with our family at a beach house in the Florida Keys. I got so sunburnt, the girls called me Jobster for a month. Like Jake, mixed with lobster. Hilarious. I scrunch my face at the horrible nickname that's been completely overused in the past 10 years. While the joke has lost its luster, the corners of my mouth upturn at her inability to maintain a straight face. Somehow it still makes the girls giggle. Every damn time. Fine, I groan in an attempt to sound annoyed. I feel a lot of things about putting sunscreen on Leah, but annoyed isn't one of them. I reach down and readjust myself before standing up, hoping my previous frustration isn't noticeable. I walk over and immediately notice a little blue speck on her collarbone. You have a little paint there, I say, pointing to it. What? She tries to look down and puffs out her perfect chest in the process. My breath hitches, and I avert my eyes in an attempt to maintain my composure. It's fine. I reach out, gently rubbing the paint off with my thumb, and the small fleck flutters to the ground. Okay, it's gone. I smile and allow my hand to linger against her skin a moment longer than necessary before holding out my hand face up. She squirts a generous amount of cream-colored lotion to my palm and turns around. Leah wasn't kidding. She's two shades away from crimson. She winces beneath my touch. Sorry, I mumble. It's okay. Just sensitive. I lessen the pressure, sliding my palms gently along her spine, between the string of her bikini, down to the dimples of her back, and against the sides of her soft hips. She adds another dollop to my hand, and I apply it to the center of her back, using my fingers to connect her splattered freckles like the constellations of the night sky. Goosebumps ripple across her body, and I force myself to look away. This girl is trying to kill me. I don't know if you can die from blue balls, but if you can, I'm a high-risk patient.
2. Leah. Jake rubs in the last bit of sunscreen between my shoulder blades, and my heart pounds so hard in my chest, I struggle to breathe. I'm self-conscious of the stupid freckles all over my skin, and I wish they would disappear as he touches every single one of them. Thanks, I manage to choke out.
Anytime,
he replies, seemingly unaffected. I turn away just as one of the hottest guys I've ever seen walks up to us, with a wide smile plastered across his face.
Jake?
He says, laughing and running a hand through his dark brown hair.
Hey,
Jake says enthusiastically with a smile.
We're gonna kick your ass this season, Danvers. You mean how you guys beat us last year?
He refutes with a breathtaking smile.
Whatever, man.
Jake laughs. The mystery guy must have noticed I was giving him the once-over, because his next words are,
Well, hello there, gorgeous.
My cheeks flush at the compliment. Hi. I bite my bottom lip to stifle a smile. I'm Leah.
Hi, Leah. I'm Cole.
He offers with a seductive grin. Chloe and her boyfriend Trey walk up, and she mouths, Oh my God, at me with a huge smile. She's so damn nosy.
Is this that hot twin sister of yours everyone's been talking about?
Cole asks Jake, pointing a finger directly at me. Actually, I'm the hot twin sister, Chloe interjects. But this is my equally hot, extremely single best friend. She gestures to me with a smile before taking a swig from her water bottle. She's the absolute best wingwoman. Trey grins and throws his arm around her, planting a kiss on her head.
Oh.
Cole's eyes bounce between Jake and Chloe.
I guess I see the resemblance.
I'm not sure what resemblance he's referring to, considering Chloe is bleach blonde and thin, a mirror image of Lissa, whereas Jake is tall and broad with dirty blonde hair. Their only similarity is a matching set of emerald green eyes.
And good to know.
Cole chuckles, returning his attention to me.
I also happen to be extremely single myself.
Interesting revelation. I grin while toying with a strand of my auburn hair.
I suppose it is.
He bites his lower lip as the corner of his mouth turns upward.
Cole, come on, let's go!
A guy yells impatiently from a few yards away.
Give me a minute,
Cole responds, then turns back to me.
Sorry, I have to give him a ride home.
Oh, okay. I smile faintly. Well, it was nice meeting you.
You too, beautiful. Maybe next time we can talk with less...
He glances around at the others.
Distractions.
Yeah, maybe. I smile, watching Cole as he walks away and disappears into the tree-covered path. When I turn to throw the sunscreen bottle on my towel, I find Jake and Chloe's eyes glued on me. Chloe's grinning ear to ear, and Jake looks like he's constipated. I don't bother asking either of them what their problem is. Between the booze and the blazing sun, the whole day has faded away. I'm sitting by a bonfire near the water's edge, and the smoky smell is seeping into my hair, worse than a trip to Benihana's. Trey and Chloe are across from me, snuggled up on a log, talking and laughing.
Here.
Jake sits down next to me, holding out a wine cooler. Thanks. I take it from his hand, our fingers brushing in the process. He smells like coconut sunscreen mixed with sweat, but not the gross kind of sweat. The intoxicating, I want to smell more of this kind. With each inhale, goosebumps scatter up and down my arms. Without standing up, Jake pulls off his Longwood soccer sweatshirt, which has Summers written on the back and the number 8.
Here.
He places the sweatshirt in my arms without asking or waiting for an answer. Oh, thanks, I say awkwardly, pulling the sweatshirt over my head and tugging it into place. We sit in silence for what feels like forever, although it's probably only 1 or 2 minutes. He's scratching off the label on his brown glass beer bottle. I wonder what's bothering him tonight. The last time he looked this way was after Lissa left. Are you okay?
Honestly?
He sighs.
I don't know.
Have you heard anything from your mom? I ask hesitantly. Finding out your mom is gone and you have no idea where she is or if she's coming back is a tough pill to swallow. Chloe, Jake, and Sophia hardly left the house for weeks.
Not a damn thing,
he mumbles.
No calls, no texts, just radio silence.
And you still have no clue why she left or where she is?
No. I hear Dad on the phone with her sometimes, but he won't tell a shit.
He shakes his head.
I mean, who does that? Just up and leaves their children in the blink of an eye.
His knee bounces uncontrollably as he brings the amber bottle to his mouth and takes another long pull of the beer.
Apparently, she doesn't give a fuck about us.
I really think you need to talk to Will and tell him how much it's eating at you, I say, looking over at him and placing a firm hand on his leg to stop his bouncing knee. His leg stills as he glances down at my hand, then back at me.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He looks directly into my eyes.
And I know you miss her, too.
He places his hand on mine, squeezing before quickly pulling away, and heat radiates up my arm from the brief contact. Yeah, I sigh, rubbing my thumbs up and down the condensation of my seltzer can. I definitely do. How's Soph handling it all?
She's adapting. She's happier when you're around.
He smiles, nudging me against my shoulder, and I blush. Thanks. I love that little bug.
So, are you looking forward to senior year?
He asks in an obvious attempt to change the depressing subject. I guess so. I smile faintly. You?
Yeah. It's just all becoming real.
He picks at the label on his bottle.
And there's a lot of pressure riding on me this season.
College scouts have been watching Jake for years, which I think would be exciting for him. I know he can't wait to blow this town, but I also know he puts a ton of pressure on himself to be the best. Yeah, I bet. Have you gotten any offers yet? I inquire to avoid what I really want to ask. Will you miss me when you're gone?
Yeah, the Crystal Bay University scout was at a game last season, and they've already offered me a full ride. Told me I should keep the talent in the state that grew it. I think it was some bullshit orange-growing analogy.
He laughs, and I do too. The Stingrays will say anything to make sure they have the best athletic teams in the state. And they usually do. But you don't want to go there?
Honestly, I want to get as far away from this place as possible. At least for a little while.
I nod, attempting to mask the storm of sadness brewing inside of me at where this is leading. So, ideally, you'd like California, or... I ask hesitantly.
I mean, yeah. UCLA has always been my dream school. But Europe's a possibility, too. That's what my coach told me, at least.
Europe? I assumed he could go as far as California, but I never imagined him going overseas. My chest tightens, and I toy with the gold ring around my middle finger.
They don't give scholarships or anything, but I could forego college, play for a league team, and actually get paid. It wouldn't be much till I earn my spot, but it's at least something. And if I want, I can still take classes over there. College is basically free in most of Europe.
No shit, I exclaim, attempting to sound enthusiastic. That would be cool.
Yeah, I guess.
He shrugs, his smile not quite reaching his eyes.
Dad is totally against it. He says I need to make sure I have a degree to fall back on if the whole soccer thing doesn't work out. Says I should play in college, and then can play professionally, after I've earned a degree.
What would you want to fall back on if you had to?
For my degree? I have no clue. My actual fallback plan is probably opening a bar.
He says with an eyebrow waggle and a smirk.
Oh my god, I gag out, rolling my eyes.
You are such a guy. He chuckles, throwing his head back while holding his stomach.
Kidding. Sort of. Uh-huh. Sure you are.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?